Grace and peace to you this morning. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. We pray. These are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. One of the tougher decisions that you kind of have to make as a parent is how you're going to play the game Candyland. You know, you don't really realize it until you're confronted with that moment, but think about Candyland. You're just trying to get to the end of the game board. You draw a card, it moves you ahead. Pretty straightforward. But sometimes you get stuck on a gumdrop and you have to keep drawing cards until you get the right color. Sometimes you get one of the characters. Some move you very far forward. Some will move you back almost to the beginning, like Mr. Mint. And the real thing why it's such a parenting challenge is there is no strategy to the game. It is just whatever the cards do. And so you kind of want to let your child win, right? And because you don't really care about winning. But with this game, you can't just make a few bad decisions or whatever. You actually have to somehow cheat to throw the game. Like, put something different in the card. Hey, look there. Oh, you got, you know, the right color. And so what do you do? And me, kind of, I don't want to be that guy that's like cheating and dishonest, right? So, and this might make me a bad person, but I actually don't cheat at all in that game. When I'm playing with the child, they get stuck on a gumdrop, that child's going to be stuck in that gumdrop a while. And there's just, it's tough. But part of me was like, well, do I shelter the child from the reality of life, basically, that sometimes you lose, sometimes you get stuck on a gumdrop, sometimes you go backwards? And so I thought, no, I'm just going to ride this out. It's not going to shelter them. It teaches them sometimes you got to lose, you get stuck, you go back, and really the cards don't care how much you cry. There's a little bit of crying involved. So it is kind of that ultimate parenting question of how much do you shelter a child? And really the question behind that for us today, how much should we be sheltered as Christians from things like trouble and hardship? As we look at this lesson, we'd well ask ourselves, how much does Paul want to shelter you from the reality of difficulties, setbacks, and hardships as a Christian? Turns out he doesn't want to shelter you a whole lot when he says something as straightforward is, we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. It's not just like, hey, this happened to me. It's, you cannot be ignorant of all of this trouble. He talks about being burdened. He talks about stuff being like, you know, seemed above measure, above strength. He despaired even of life. He doesn't want the Corinthians to be sheltered from the cold, hard reality of suffering and hardship and difficulty as Christians. Thing is sometimes we can let ourselves live a sheltered sort of life and not want to face or recognize the reality of suffering and difficulty and hardship. And then when it comes, we can be surprised and feel like it's unjust, and ultimately it can lead to spiritual problems. Like, we can get resentful toward God. God, how dare you do this to me? I have been pretty good. I've gone to, church, chapel, things like that. I've been a Christian. Come on. So we can get resentful toward God. Sometimes we think we can go it alone and think, fine, God, if you're not going to help me out with this, I'm just going to have to trust and rely on myself to get me through this. And I think one of the tougher parts about hardship that we probably don't like to admit, but I think deep, deep, deep down inside, we realize is the reality, is that when we face hardship and difficulty, sometimes we get really, really selfish about it. And we, if someone said that to us in the middle of it, we would just freak out about it. But the thing is when we are facing a difficulty, how often isn't it like everyone needs to stop what they're doing and pamper me and say so many nice things about me, and I get selfish and self-centered, and now I'm not concerned about my neighbor, the people around me, that I should be a neighbor to them, be concerned to them. So in a really scary way, though we scarcely like to admit it, sometimes we let hardships and suffering even become a selfish thing for us. Really, the tough part is we don't really get to make demands of God because we're sinners. We don't deserve good things from him. We deserve death and hell. And so that's the proverbial but negative icing on the cake to these hardships, is that we have all of this coming to us. When we are unsheltered from the reality of suffering, though, we can realize how important this comfort that Paul finds in the midst of suffering is. He mentions that it happened that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. For Paul, the resurrection of the dead is kind of the definitive problem here, that all hardship ultimately is a little version, a little reminder that the big problem of death is coming our way. It all climaxes in death. Everything we lose now, we lose in a small scale. We're going to lose it big time in death. And so that's why he draws comfort from the fact that Christ came to take care of death for us. That he took on the punishment, the bad things that we deserved, so that we wouldn't have to have death truly come in a way that lasts, but instead that it would be conquered, it would be taken away in resurrection. He can raise the dead. He raised himself up from death. He can raise us up too. Paul finds comfort that he fixed this greatest problem. We don't need to fear that God is out to get you or me because of some bad thing we've done in this life that we feel guilty about, because we turn to him for forgiveness and we know Jesus paid for those sins on the cross. There's nothing left to punish us for. Jesus bore it all on his own body on that cross. And with his rising again, we know the problem is sin is gone, death is gone. He has eternal life itself for us. That is the great comfort that Paul wants to draw on when facing challenge and hardship. But we know in our lives it's not always as simple as that. Think about it this way. Am I brushing off trouble and hardship if I just say, well, Jesus conquered death for you, don't worry about it? In other words, if someone's in the hospital and I visit this person in the hospital and say, hey, sorry that you have a horrible heart condition and you're in pain all the time, but guess what? God's going to work it for good. Okay, I got to go. Bye-bye. That's not going to go over very well. And that's kind of the tough reality of things, is that when we have hardships and difficulties, I can't quite get a chart out and pinpoint, okay, this seemingly really bad thing happened, and now this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and it's going to, okay, all work together to be, perfect, and I'm going to have great feelings about it. The reality is that in suffering and hardship, there's a lot of unknowns, a lot of things that I don't understand, that I can't make sense of, and that makes it very difficult. In the end, we're simply left with faith. I mean, Paul just says that he's trusting in God who raises the dead. That's it. Faith in that. Faith, of course, that God works in our hearts in the midst of those difficulties. One of the more forgotten aspects of Paul's letters, I think, is how much self-disclosure he actually does. And look, he's opening up about these difficulties he's faced. There are other places, too, in his epistles all over. Thorn in his flesh talk. He talks about himself as chief of sinners, spiritual things, physical things, all over. And I think it's important to realize that when we face hardships and difficulties, whatever they might be, we're not alone in things. And it's not like something odd or God is picking on us. But this happened even to Paul. This is something that happens to Christians. And I think it's key to take that to heart when we're facing difficulty. I once, as a pastor, was teaching a confirmation class to like 8th graders and 7th graders. And one day I just kind of made an offhand comment, like, I'm kind of having a bad day. And they were like, their mind was blown. Like, you're a pastor, how do you possibly have a bad day? And I was just like shocked, like, that this was a newsflash. And I think that it's key for us because sometimes, you know, all people have a tendency to present a polished form of themselves, and sometimes we feel like, well, if I'm a Christian, maybe I should be yippy-skippy and happy all the time. But I think there's a great comfort in this lesson that Paul self-discloses these difficulties. You and I don't need to be afraid of having a bad day or having a hardship. We don't need to be ashamed of that because God isn't punishing us in hardship. He doesn't need to do that because Christ has been punished for us. So yeah, all Christians are going to have a bad day. I don't go home every day and pop off my shirt and tie, put on a t-shirt that says world's greatest professor and kick up my feet and think, wow, this has just gone great. Sometimes I go home and I feel like garbage and I feel sad and I feel like, oh, this didn't go well or this problem happened. Sometimes I think, wow, maybe I'm not good at my job. We have all of these sorts of difficulties no matter, and your hardships are going to be different from time to time, more severe. It varies. Unfortunately, it's a reality that we can't be sheltered from. And Paul doesn't shelter us, but it frees us up to live authentically in the sense that as a Christian, I don't need to feel like if I don't always have a smile on my face, or I'm always yippy-skippy, that I'm not a Christian somehow, that we can freely go each day, yeah, sometimes not feeling the greatest, not feeling happy, sometimes having a bad day. And that's what living an unsheltered life in view of God's word can help do for us, to free us up in those situations. So basically today, we try to figure out how bad of a parent I am for not letting my children win at Candyland. And regardless of how bad that is, that I don't let them win, I hope we take to heart that we, in a spiritual sense, can't be sheltered from, you know, the reality of difficulty and suffering in the Christian life. We're not always going to have the why answers we perfectly need. We're not going to always be able to connect the dots. Sometimes the hardships will be in this realm, sometimes they'll be in that realm of things, sometimes they'll be very, very severe, sometimes not so much, but they're going to come, and we need to be realistic about that. But like Paul, we find comfort in Christ. He trusted Christ who raised the dead, and that was enough for him, even though that's not every answer we might want. He's conquered death for us. He's given us heaven itself. And so may God, for each and every one of us, help us find peace, help us to live authentically, even in the midst of hardship, until he brings us to that heavenly home. Amen. Please rise. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that though we face many hardships in life, you've saved us from death through Christ and given us a resurrection and eternal life instead. Help us face hardships with trust in you, though we go through many things that we don't understand. Grant that we face troubles with an attitude like St. Paul, bearing in mind especially your eternal blessings for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.